Exodus, as you remain standing, 15 and verses 22. Exodus 15 and verses 22. And you can put the flyer up, A Journey of Miracles. I'm speaking to you that you are a journey of miracles. You may have questioned God as to what you're going through. But before this message is finished, I would like to change your mind from questioning God on what you have been through to celebrating with God what He has done for you. Let me say that one more time. You may have questioned, those listening may have questioned God about what you have gone through. But by the end of this message, it is my aim that you will shift your mind to celebrating what God has done for you. Can I get a witness this morning? Exodus chapter 15 and verses 22 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter." Marah, and called it Marah because it's bitter. "And the people murmured against Moses and says, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord." Lord showed him a tree. God is going to do a miracle in the brink of when you believe is a disaster. God showed Moses a tree, which he had cast into the waters. And the waters were made from bitter to sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and none of his and all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Father, I thank you for the miracles you have given us. I thank you that even in coronavirus this year, there are miracles you have brought upon our life. Sometimes we do not know and we forget quickly what you have done for us. But today we celebrate your presence, we celebrate your power, and we celebrate that you are with us wherever we are. Now bless your word, even those who are hearing by the airwaves and those who are here live. I thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. How is it possible that you're alive today when in March and April, none of us knew what would have happened to us? Now you said, "Pastor, what are you saying? You mean you don't have faith?" Even the apostles of this time, even the bishops of this time, even pastors of this time, they have been shaken with fear. As a matter of fact, some have died. But God has kept some of us alive. And when you were supposed to have been sick, it wasn't vitamin C, it wasn't vitamin D, it wasn't zinc, it wasn't anything. You know who it was? It was the hand of God over your life. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. We are God's people, and we do not forget where the good and a perfect gift comes. It comes from God. It does not come from Trump. It does not come from Biden. It does not come from your president or your prime minister, but it comes from the hand of God. God's hand was on the children of Israel 4,000 years ago when they came out of the wilderness. And when he says his hands was on 1.5 million people, if he did it for 1.5 million people, he can do it for 7.8 billion in the world today. Come on, somebody. We got news that the coronavirus is hitting its biggest record as of yesterday. Today it's maybe another thing. It's hitting big records in France, hitting big records in Europe, hitting big records in some parts of America, some parts around the world. But why it is, those listening to me, those who are here today could say, it is by the grace of God that has kept me then, it has kept me now, and I'm confident that it is the grace and the mercies and it is power that will keep me in November, in December, in January, in February. I have no doubt I will survive. I will survive not because of anything, but I will survive because God looks at me. I am the apple of his eye. I have been called for a time such as this. My time is not yet nigh. I have work to do. I have things to do. I have places to go. My calling is sure. The grace of God is on me. And I'm speaking to you this morning that you have now started the journey. And the journey may look rough. It may look tough. But if God has brought you so far, can you just give a testimony that I know that God is going to see me through for the rest of the year and into 2021. I'm not waiting for a vaccine to see me through. I got a vaccine called the blood of Jesus that is over my life. It is going to take me through in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. How is it possible? I'm not saying don't take it. I'm just telling you, it's not going to make me live or die. I'm going to survive. 1.5 million people leaving Egypt. And you know God was up to something. Let me just tell you, if God did a miracle for you in your life, I want you to know God's up to something for your life. And I don't want you to judge God based on what he did yesterday. I want you to start thinking about what he has done for you. Some of us are ungrateful, unfaithful, not you, but you remember the 10 lepers. They got healed of their leprosy. How many came back? Only one came back to thank God. That means our memory is sometimes limited and short regarding what God has done for us. Many of us, we did not know last year whether we were going to have a roof over our head, but today we have a better roof over our head from last year. Some of us did not know when coronavirus hit whether we were going to have enough bread and enough meat and enough curry and enough stew and enough pong de yam and enough egusi soup, but God has given you more than enough in this midst. I heard they're not only giving one bread, but Pastor Mahe says when you go to a certain place in Liberty, you buy one bread, they're giving you two. God's going to give you double for your trouble. When you thought that you were going to die, God says, I ain't start telling you what I'm about to do for you and your family. You and your family are going to be blessed, favored into 2021. You don't have to say, I wonder what's going to happen. I am telling you what's going to happen. You shall be blessed. Pastor read it in Deuteronomy 28. You shall be blessed in your going out. You shall be blessed in your coming in. You shall be blessed in the city. You shall be blessed in the country. Wherever you go, the blessings are upon you. I think it's Genesis chapter 26. When Isaac was in Gera. You heard me preach this message. In the middle of the Philistines' land. And Abimelech, the king of Philistine, was there. And a famine came to Philistines. A famine came in the land. Coronavirus hit the Philistine land. God's man was in Philistine, Isaac. You know who Isaac was? Isaac was the son of Abraham. You know who Abraham was? Abraham was the father of many nations. And God appeared to Abraham and said, I will bless you, but I bless you and your seed and your seed's seeds and your descendants, and I will always prosper them. Isaac, that blessing was upon him, but he was in a strange land when it was a famine. But my God will make famine come around you, but it'll not touch you. Because when the blessing is upon you, nothing shall harm you. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in your ways, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Your steps are ordered by God. You can go here and people will cry. You can go here and people will get cursed. But you go there, you are blessed and highly favored. Nothing will touch you. Nothing shall harm you. You are blessed by God in the name of Jesus. Somebody give him praise this morning. Was in the land of the Philistines, capital, Minister Imran, and they had famine. And Isaac wanted to leave and go to Egypt like his daddy left the land and went to Egypt when there was a famine. Sometimes we do what we know to do, but sometimes God has to arrest us. And that night, God appeared to Isaac and he said, Isaac, stay where you are. For where you are, I will bless you. The blessing may not look like it can come in the Philistines' camp, but you are not a Philistine. You're a Hebrew boy. You're a Jewish boy. You're called by Abe. You're called by me, and I called your daddy. Who are you called by? You should not be called by Trump, nor Biden, nor called by no politician. You're called by God. There's a DNA inside of you where there is the blood of Jesus injected in you, and you are not walking by sight, but you're walking by faith. Your daddy is a millionaire. Your daddy is royalty. Your daddy owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Somebody shout hallelujah. When I go to Guyana, when I go to Lagos, when I go to the Bronx, when I go to Queens, I am blessed and highly favored. For the blessing is not where I go. The blessing is on me. The blessing is on you. Somebody say, the blessing is on me. Your sister may be complaining. She's not a Christian. Your uncle may be complaining. He's not a Christian. Your nephew may be complaining. They're not a Christian. They're looking at this and crying. You're looking at this and raising your hands and say, look what the Lord has done. When others are crying, you're lifting your hands. Somebody worship God. You're lifting your hands and saying, look what the Lord has done. When everybody else is worried, you are rejoicing. Isaac stayed where he was. And the Bible says, God spoke to him that night and say, I told your daddy, Abraham, I will bless him and I will bless his seed. Isaac, my words are true. I will not turn back from it. Isaac, stay right where you are. The scripture says in Genesis, Isaac stayed where he was in the middle of famine when no one else was reaping. And in that same year, he sowed and reaped 100-fold. In the same year, he stayed and reaped 100-fold. Everyone else is crying about their harvest, but you're rejoicing because it wasn't in no one's else hands, but it's in the hand. Your hand is in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Your hands is in the hands of the man who calmed the sea. Your hands is in the hands of the man who says, peace be still, and peace was still. Your hands is in the hands of the man who was stretched far and wide on Calvary's cross and said it was finished, and his blood dripped into your spirit. And because it dripped into your spirit, you're a child of the living God. You don't have a blood type A, a blood type B, a blood type C, but you got the blood of Jesus over you, around you, above you, and you're blessed and favored. Somebody shout hallelujah. Blessed and favored. And in that same year, Isaac reaped 100-fold. he reap 100-fold. I'm not preaching that message. But when God is ready to bless you, he's setting you up. 1.5 million of them went and saw the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, it was an impossible sea for 1.5 million to cross. But when God, miracle is on your life, you go in front of Pharaoh, God will be with you. You go before the Red Sea, God will be with you. And Moses took his rod, touched the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted, and 1.5 million went through free without one drowning. God has a way. He'll not only take you through your Red Sea, but your enemies who are trying to devour you, when they come after you, God will make a way to destroy your enemies, and he'll make your enemies your footstool. For the enemies were coming after 1.5 million to say, come back, I need you back into Egypt. But God, when he's ready to free you, no man can touch you. When they tried to cross the Red Sea killed and drowned them. God is a mighty God. Stop fighting your enemies. Stop raising your mouth at your enemies. Stop raising your hands at your enemies. Stop trying to fight with your enemies. Stand still and see the salvation of God. You got the blood of Jesus over you. You are blessed and favored. God has started miracles upon you. You do not have to fight. He'll fight your battle. A few things that God is doing in the wilderness that he'll do for you. Number one, he'll turn water from bitter to sweet. He'll turn water from bitter to sweet. Minister Imran, as they parted the Red Sea, the Bible says in that verse that I read, chapter 16, chapter 15, and verses 22. Chapter 15 and verses 22. So they journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without water. And when they came to where water was, it was bitter. If God has able to bring you through what you have been through, don't curse God when your next miracle is about to happen. Have patience, have faith, because God is going to test you to see, can you have faith like a mustard seed for your next miracle? Is there anybody who had a miracle and you're looking for another miracle and you're saying it's not happening? Well, hold on. God is about to do it if you have faith. He's about to test you. 3 days, the Bible says, they journeyed in the wilderness without water. It is enough to go without water for 1 day, for 2 days, for 3 days. But Minister Imran, it is very hard for you to really survive 3 days. I think 3 days is the maximum. God will allow you to go to your maximum to show that your extremity is his opportunity. Now your back is against the wall. It is his moment to shine. That when you cannot do it, he will come forward. 3 days without water, 1.5 million. Some of us, we got to get water every 10 minutes. Some of us, we got to get water every half hour. And water is good. You should get it. You have it. You should thank God for it. There are people in this world who do not have drinking water like you have. And you need to thank God for the water that you have. But I point to you, not only the water that you drink, but I point to you the living water, which is the water that Christ gives. He says that when you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. He said to the woman at the well, you drink that water, you will thirst again. But the water that I give you, it's a water, a springing up like a well of living water that you will never thirst again. Is there anybody who has tasted of this water this morning? Somebody put it in there. I've tasted that water. They go there, and the Bible says, and they came to Marah, verses 23 of 15, and they could not drink because it was bitter. And then the people started to murmur. Be careful about murmuring and complaining. God has been too good to you. He brought you out from Egypt. He made the death angel pass over you. Because you had the blood applied. You got the blood applied. You remember you got the blood applied. You remember you sought Jesus Christ and he forgave you of your sins and the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody who knows who Jesus is? Put it in there. I know the blood of Jesus covers my sins. For those of you who are watching me, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know that the blood of Jesus can apply to your life. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come, if you would just come and reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Here is what he does. He does that protection for everyone. No matter what your background is, no matter what your pedigree is, no matter what your color is, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your tribal background is, no matter where your country is from, he says, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe it in him should not perish, but all should come to repentance. And when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us, oh, you're white, I like you, you're black, I like you, you're brown, I like you, or you're this, I don't like you. God looks at all of us as one. It is not the color of our skin. It is not how we look from the outside. It's who we are on the inside. You cut us, we got the same blood. We are human beings all together. That's why in the church we should have no racial discrimination. Come on, we need to give God praise for that. I understand in the street they can have racial discrimination, but it should not happen in the church. It should not happen from the pulpit. It should not happen among God's people. It should not happen at the election. It should not happen when politicians try to divide you. You are smarter than that. You are God's man. You are God's woman. You've been bought with a price. And when God sees you at the end of life, he's not going to ask you what tribe and ethnicity you're from. He's just going to say, where is the blood? Where is the blood? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you come to Jesus for a cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It went and they saw bitterness and they complained. But thank God, he will come at the middle of your sorrow and he will bring a miracle right in front of you. There are some people who have experienced bitterness in their life. Maybe a marriage has gone wrong and bitterness has come upon you. Maybe an uncle told you how you will amount to nothing and bitterness is over your life. Maybe your girlfriend ran away from you and said they want nothing to do with you and you're hurt with bitterness. Maybe a boy ran away, you thought he loved you, but he saw someone else and bitterness is over you. I'm speaking to somebody who might be living in a life of bitterness. God has a miracle for you to turn that bitterness into sweetness, turn that sorrow into joy, turn you from your back against the wall to put you forward. You should not go through life bitter. I need you today to wash your face, square your shoulders, stand still, and look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help coming from the Lord that made heaven and earth. You are better than this. When Jesus comes upon you, bitterness has to go, sweetness has to come forth. You can put it in there, 15 and verses 25. And the Bible says, and Moses cried unto the Lord. Sometimes we call people on the phone and cry to them. Sometimes we want to talk to people to get it off our chest. But when last have you been to Jesus? When last have you talked to Jesus? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you weak and heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus alone. Sometimes we're very quick in telling everybody. And you tell somebody, you tell them it's a secret. Before you put the phone down, that secret becomes public. And that one tells somebody and somebody else. But when I tell it to Jesus, he alone will know what my trouble is. And he will take care of my problems. Have you had a problem? And you told it to Jesus. Moses told it to Jesus. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? Even in the first message, first service, I could not finish my message. So I'm going to finish this with water today and food. And next week, I believe we're going to hit talk with clothes and help. But the water was bitter. The water was bitter. Your life has been bitter. Your life has been consumed with the ugliness of what it has to offer. One man says, I think it was Plato or Aristotle, who lived a little before Jesus, 2,500, 2,300 years ago. He says, when you meet people, be kind to them, for they are going through struggles. When you meet people, be kind to them. Do not add to their problems. They're going through struggles. Give a smile to somebody. Give a helping hand to somebody. Send a nice text to somebody. Tell them that they're blessed. Tell them that you're praying for them. Don't bring them down. Don't talk about them. Don't try to cut them up. Life is bitter, but Jesus brings sweetness. The Bible says, put it up there. And when he called upon God in verse 25, God showed him a tree. The tree. And God showed him a tree which God himself cast in to the river. And as he cast that tree into the river, the bitterness became sweet. Jesus' name so sweet. Emmanuel's name so sweet. When Jesus touches anything, it will turn good. When Jesus touches anything, it will move from bitterness to sweetness. Look what God did with your life. Some people, and maybe not you, but there are some people listening and some people who would listen to me. You used to be a drunkard, but look, you're sweet in the Lord today. You're not sweet with sweet drinks. You're sweet in the Lord. You used to be a drug addict. You could not get out your way from one to the other. Now look what God has done. He's cleaned you up from bitterness to sweetness. Look what has happened to you. Your family life was in a mess, but God got a hold of you and changed bitterness to sweetness. Look what happened to you. Some church may have talked about you. You may have left discouraged. Do you know how many people are home not going back to church because church people have done things to them? And I want to tell them this morning, don't let people bitter you. You're better than that. Jesus is sweeter than that. You need to rise up, for you got a battle to fight. You got a calling to endure. You got what Peter says. I have a vision. I have a goal. Putting aside everything, let me run this race with patience. The race that was set before me, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is set down before God the Father. God is going to turn your sweet bitterness into sweetness. And then he's not only going to do that, but let me tell you, he's going to shift you when you need water. He's going to shift you to Elim. Verse 27, he's going to shift you to Elim. You're getting a bonus here. The first service didn't get this one. He's going to give you verse 27. When you have passed the test and you overcome bitterness and God allows you to drink, he will guide you not only from where that water was, but he'll take you from Marah to Elim. He'll take you from where you were to where you are now. He'll take you from your position of loneliness to a position of joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says, and then they came to Elim after that. And there wasn't only one source of water. There were 12 wells of water. When God is ready to bless you, he will not only bless you one time, but he'll bless you 12 times. He'll not only bless you two times, he'll bless you seven times. When one door is closed, 12 doors will be open. Is there anybody who knows that there are open doors for you in the name of Jesus? I need you to give God a praise. And he'll not only put you where there are 12 wells, but he'll place you where there are palm trees. Palm trees. Three score. 60 and 10. 70 palm trees. 70 palm trees. He'll do a miracle. Palm trees gives you shelter. Palm trees where you can be comforted. Palm trees gives you the oxygen. He'll put you in places in the middle of a desert where it feels like it's lonely, but he'll give you more than you ask for. He'll give you more than you can even imagine, because God is on your side. I wish I had time to tell you not only about the water, but I wish I had time to tell you about what he can do with your food, what he can do with your clothes, what he can do with your shoes, what he can do with your health. Come back next week. I want to tell you a little bit about that. But God is good. He's brought you so far. And I guarantee you, you're on a journey of miracles. Look who you are. Many of you, you have family. When they see you, they ask you, what did you do with yourself? You look like you have a facial. You look like you did plastic surgery. You're looking so young. You're looking so good. You're looking so energetic. And you know what it is? It is the grace. It is the mercy. It is the beauty for ashes. It is the joy instead of mourning. It is the sweetness for bitterness. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is what God is doing in this corona. He's turning your life around. You are a miracle in the sight of God. Stand to your feet if you're a miracle. Sing that song that we sang at the end, the first service. Moving mountains. Mountains are still being moved. For those of you who are watching us and you don't know who Jesus is, I want you to know that this man that I spoke about, Jesus Christ, God, who took care of them in the wilderness, turned bitterness into sweetness, is about to do it for you and your family. I want somebody to put in there, I'm declaring sweetness over my family. Some of you, your children have turned around. I need to turn around. Your grandchildren need to turn around. I'm declaring sweetness over your children and your descendants. Some of you, your marriage needs sweetness. I'm declaring sweetness over your marriage. Some of you, you have family issues and you're not talking to somebody in the family. I declare sweetness over your family. Some of you, you have had hatred or bitterness with somebody for a long time. God's about to bring sweetness for you and that person. Mountains are still being removed. Let's sing it together.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being lost. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still wanting to do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still wanting to do. We are here for you. Coming to what you do. We are here for you. Coming to what you do. Set out.
Sweetness, God. Come on, everybody. Sing it, sing it.
Mountains are still being moved.
Come on, lift your voice. Strongholds.
Strongholds are still being moved.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
Yes, we can see it.
Yes, we can see it.
The wonders.
Wonders are still on the go.
Bodies are still being raised.
Bodies are still.
Come on, I need you to certify it.
Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see. Wonders are still on to do.
Come on, raise your hands.
We are here for.
If you're home, I want you to say, pray for me, Pastor. If you're here and you have a need, I want you to lift your hands, whatever that need is. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I pray for every hand lifted up. I pray for every situation that you're looking for. I pray sweetness over your life. I pray there'll be joy instead of bitterness. I pray a turning around. I pray a miracle. I pray Mara will become sweet. I pray that your life will change. Elam will come upon your life. 70 palm trees, 12 wells. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sing it one more time. I pray for everyone who's saved.
Oh, it was your Lord.
To thank God for. Let me ask you, I know you may have something on your mind, but this is how God works. Even what's on your mind, can you shift away from it and remember what God has done so far? Isn't He good? Come on, you need to give God a praise. That you're... Come on, I need you to give Him a praise. I need to give Him a praise. Crying and you went to the doctor. You did not know what was going to happen. What they call cancer. Will they call you? You have to do a heart transplant. You had to do a heart surgery. You had to take kidneys medicine. You remember. But look who you are. You've been washed in the blood. You've been healed by God. You remember even a year ago, you're flat in your face, no money in the bank, can't pay your bills, you're depressed, you're worried, your job is not there anymore, not making enough, but look what God has done for you. You're alive, you're well, you're healthy, you're strong, you're kicking. As long as there's life, there's hope. Somebody give God praise.
Healing is coming. Healing is room.
Sister Van Christian, if I can use you as a testimony, if you allow me. He got the symptoms of corona. But God has a way. He will prepare a place. Went to the hospital with all his symptoms. Could have ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks. Could have ended up more than that. But in 3 to 4 days, when others stayed in the ventilator, stayed in the ICU, God brought him out, and he's alive and he's well. And God is a miracle working God. Somebody shout. Somebody. Just give me 2 more minutes. I want to brag on God. Brother Shem, a year ago on Easter, not this Easter, a year ago on Easter morning, he was flatlined, dead. But when we heard the message, he's at Long Island Jewish. My sister called me. She says, Joe, you got to get the church to pray. I don't know if any of you were here. We had about 300, 400 people. I said, let's stand. We're going to pray for Shem. And as Shem was going under that procedure, we were praying. We sent up God. And God healed him. He's alive. Come on, somebody. About 4 weeks ago, my dad was admitted to the hospital, and from all indication we were told, he may have to go through a heart procedure. They kept him in for a day and a night. They did all the tests, and when we were waiting to hear he's going to go to the operating room, the doctor says everything is clear. Every test is well. Everything is good. His heart is good. God!
Miracles happen with you, Lord. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen
in this room. Closing.
Come and do what you do.
I want to thank you for being here.
We are here.
Thank you for your tithes and your offering. Both sides. Credit cards. Thank you very much. This week we started to help send gifts to Haiti. Next Sunday, we're going to be feeding 1,000 folks in Haiti. We're going to be feeding 1,000 folks in Haiti. God bless you.